Allah, is hitting women allowed in the Quran? I must admit that one of the most troubling verses in the Holy Quran, which I always get asked about by Muslims and non-Muslims alike, is the verse that discusses hitting women. It's troubling for a number of reasons, because on the first level, I'm someone who's devoted to my faith, devoted to my literature, devoted to my scripture. And in being devoted to that scripture, living 1,400 years away from when this scripture was being revealed means that I don't have access to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family to ask him what is the exact context of the verse that discusses hitting a female. In my worldview, there surely is no situation, no context where a female should be hit by anyone. And yet I look at the book that I value the most, and the book that I see as the most sacred, and I come to Surah 4, verse 34 of the Holy Quran, which I hope all the viewers are looking at this moment, and I see the word in the English language. When I read the translation, I see hit them. Some say beat them. Some say strike them. And you cannot deny that at this moment you are disturbed. And I know people in the Muslim community who either want to ask the question about this ayah, this particular verse, or are troubled by it, but are scared that if they ask a question concerning it, the community may condemn them. That how could you question what's in the Holy Quran? The reality is that my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala asks me to reflect on the verses of the Holy Quran. My Lord asks me to reflect, to unlock, to delve deep into the secrets of the verses. And the majority of the verses of the Quran about marriage seem quite normal to me. If I look, for example, at a verse like in Surah 30, verse 21 of the Holy Quran, I'll find a verse which I think every Muslim and non-Muslim will agree with me is a pretty pleasant verse. Surah 30, verse 21 of the Holy Quran. You'll find, for example, a verse that many people will recite when it comes to their wedding ceremonies. It's a verse which is easy, is a verse which is pleasant. It's not a verse which causes you much difficulty when you reflect upon it. In Surah 30, verse number 21 of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us his signs. And he tells us, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And from his signs is that he has created for you mates, pairs, so that you may dwell with one another, live amongst one another. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً and what? And رَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made between us a reciprocal love and mercy. That verse, when I show it to people, they're like, wow, mashallah, marriage in Islam is very pleasant. Now, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that there is a partner for me somewhere in this world. And that partner for me is someone who we're going to enjoy reciprocity when it comes to love and mercy. Maybe at the beginning it's complete love. Later on, we're merciful to each other as we grow older, for example. Then you look at another verse of the Holy Quran. Again, marriage seems to be pleasant again in other verses in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, marry the single ones from amongst you. If they are poor, God will make them rich. Or if you remember yesterday when I discussed, they are a clothing for you and you are a clothing for them. Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun. They are a clothing for you, you are a clothing for them. Generally, the verses in the Quran that are discussing marriage are discussing happy family. Arguably, the verse which is always seen as being troublesome for Muslims and for non-Muslims is verse 34 of Surah 4 of the Holy Quran. Now, there are majalis that I and others give about such verses, but I don't think many people have actually opened Surah An-Nisa and looked at the verse itself. But you may have had someone at university or someone at college say, bro, does your religion allow wife beating? The sad thing is that in the Muslim world, I could say in the human population, sadly in general, because there are non-Muslims in the world who sometimes the effect of alcohol has led them to leave more than battering and bruising on their wives, and more than battering and bruising on women in their society. But in the Muslim world, we find that there are an unbelievable number of cases where men use physical violence, not just emotional abuse, which can be worse sometimes, but use physical violence against someone who they made a vow and a commitment that they would look after and that they would protect. They asked their in-laws one day for that girl's hand, and they said, "We'll protect her." And you found that even though these people may be named after prophets, even though these people pray Salah, even though these people may be at Jum'ah, even though these people may claim to love Muhammad and Al Muhammad, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, you'll still find situations where they have hit their wife. When you sit with these people, some of them will admit that they've made a grievous error. They've made a huge mistake. And they feel guilty because of what they've done. They've recognized that was a foolish thing that they've done. When you sit with others, they actually, in some cases, have used the Quran as a backup for why it's okay to hit your wife. Someone, when they hear them say that the Quran allows me, many Muslims have not memorized this verse of the Quran. If you go to many Muslims in the world and you say to them that the ayah in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa' bima fadala Allah ba'dahum 'ala, have you memorized it? Many have not. So when someone says to them that I found an ayah in the Quran, for many Muslims, they'll be like, there's no way the Quran allows hitting a woman. There's no way the Quran allows for a person to hit their wife. But then we see this ayah. And when we see this ayah, we encounter a couple of difficulties in what normally comes regarding an ayah. You know, the moral unease that many people feel at the moment when it comes to the verse concerning hitting woman. I don't think there was that much moral unease 500 years ago. In the Middle East and certain patriarchal societies where some male chauvinists were living, there was a misogynistic tendency in some cases to say, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? You disobey me, I'm the leader of this house. I'm the man of this house. You disobey me, I'll hit you. I'll smack you. There are some people, because the cooking is late, the food is late, because she didn't answer the phone, who don't just smack. They'll scratch the face and they'll scratch the body of the person. We've had to deal with cases in the Muslim community where ladies have been bruised and battered. And men, because of their worldview, where they've seen their fathers say, listen, you're the man, act like a man. Acting like a man does not mean you beat somebody's daughter or you hit somebody's sister. But they can sometimes back it up by going to this verse of the Quran. When they go to this verse, this is not the only thing they back it up with. Because what they'll also do, they'll go to some marja. If you go, for example, on the website of a marja, when you go to the section of nikah, and under that, the subsection of nushuz and disobedience, you'll find that even the marja says that one of the steps is that you hit her. Now we have an issue because we're going to look at the Quran, we're going to try and explain it, but can we deflect ourselves from the fact that in certain leading jurists, they still mention that hitting is one of the cures, one of the remedies, one of the things which is permissible according to the Holy Quran? If your marja, and probably the most famous marja in the Shi'i world, has on their website in the section of nikah, under the section of nikah, there is a section of nushuz. Under that section, he discusses the disobedience of the wife. And he discusses the disobedience of the husband. Most of you watching at home can see that this verse is saying men are the caretakers of women, as men have been provisioned by Allah over women and tasked with supporting them financially. And righteous women are devoutly obedient and when alone, protective of what Allah has entrusted with them with. And if you sense ill conduct from your woman, advise them first. If they persist, do not share the bids. But if they still persist, then discipline them. Interesting in that translation for the viewers on the screen. What's interesting is that the word gently was included. There is no word gently in the Quran. The word gently, a person had to refer to tafsir. But for many, they will not go to tradition. They will stick with the Quran. Therefore, when a person looks at this verse, there is no mentioning of wadribuhunna gently. I see that in this verse of the Quran, it says, and hit them, and strike them, and beat them. And there is definitely an unease in the Muslim community, because there are many in the Muslim community at the moment who look at this verse and they're thinking, you know what? I would never do it, but I see it in the Quran. But what context is it being revealed in the Quran? What's happening? Why is God mentioning such a thing? Because you know what our biggest problem is? What if someone takes it out of context and abuses it? At the end of the day, if we say the Quran is a book for mankind until the day of judgment, why wasn't there, for example, a chapter or a verse that abrogated this verse? Couldn't a Muslim come 500 years later and say, if my Lord allowed it, so what's your problem? I want to hit your mom. Some of us have been in houses where we've seen our fathers hit our mothers. What if our father comes to this ayah? Therefore, tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, wherever you may be, pick up the Quran, Surah 4, verse number 34. Let's try and explore and break down this particular chapter. We begin that the chapter itself, what's it named after? Surah An-Nisa. In English, what's Nisa, said Muhsin? Women. So we have a chapter of the Holy Quran which is discussing issues concerning women. This chapter of the Quran, chapter 4, looks at issues where women are leading normal lives or where some women may be leading abnormal lives. Women who are living in a pleasant life, women who may be living in difficult lives. Women who are facing trials with their marriages where they are at fault, trials with their marriages where others are at fault. Women who, for example, are living in a world where they have to share their marital life with other women. Surah An-Nisa literally tries to open up every single situation that women who are living in Arabia at the time are facing. Surah An-Nisa was not revealed to say, by the way, we're only going to talk about the good situations that every woman will go through, and we're not going to talk about difficult moments in the life of the female. No. When a chapter of a revealed text is named after this particular gender, it wants to open up on the many normal situations that many of us are used to, as well as abnormalities. There are some women who live in happy marriages. There are some women who live in sad marriages. There are some women who live in abusive marriages. There are some women who are not to blame for anything that happens in the house. Sadly, they were forced into some marriages. In Arabia at the time, there are women who are forced to marry their stepsons. Islam came and discussed it. What is this that you Arabs force the lady to marry her stepson? Imagine, for example, my father was married to my mom. My mom died, so my father married another lady. When my father passed away, that lady became my inheritance. So it would be discussed. What else would be discussed? Those ladies you can marry temporarily. Those ladies you can marry permanently. What else was discussed? Those ladies who are widows. What else was discussed? Those ladies who you cannot marry. Can you marry your mother? No. Can you marry your sister? No. So Surah An-Nisa is not a chapter for the faint-hearted. Surah An-Nisa seeks to explore the many different situations that women may find themselves in, and that not all marriages are the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, wants the Muslim living at that time to make sure that they recognize that they live with their wives, with their partners honorably. Because about 15 verses before verse 34, in Surah 4, verse number 19, you've got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa ashiruhunna bil-ma'roof. You live with them in that which is honorable. So 15 verses before this verse, Nobody, of course, mentions what's come before this verse. They go straight to the verse. But 15 verses before this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that you live with them with that which is honorable. There are other translations as well. In this verse, therefore, God is speaking right at the beginning about a very normal family structure Islamically. Let's see what it says. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الرجال, men. قَوَّامُونَ. قَوَّامُونَ. If you look at the meaning of قَوَّامُونَ, the problem is sometimes the translations we have can be translations written by someone who sees that he's in charge of his marriage, that lady is literally a slave for him. Then you could see, no, that there are others who recognize that my societal influence is not going to affect the way I look at the tafsir. Rather, for me, I recognize قَوَّامُونَ. Is there an ayah in the Quran where Allah uses قَاف and Allah uses, for example, ya meem to talk about how He is the caretaker for everything in the heavens and the earth, and He protects everything in the heavens and the earth? In Ayat al-Kursi, how does Ayat al-Kursi begin? Allah. Read Ayat al-Kursi for me, said Mahsin, Muhammad, Ayat al-Kursi. How does it begin? Hayy al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum means what? Al-Qayyum means the one who is the caretaker of everything. The one, because there are many who recite Ayat al-Kursi, but they don't know the meaning of what they're reciting. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum means what? Qayyum means the one who oversees everything. He is the one who protects everything, caretaker of everything. الرجال قوامون means that men are the protectors. الرجال قوامون على النساء. الرجال قوامون على النساء. Men are the protectors of women. Men are not the bosses of women. Men are not in charge of women. Men are the protectors. The maintainers is sometimes a translation that you see. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defining for us masculinity in which way? Not in the sense of what muscles you have or which car you drive, but in your readiness to protect that lady who you've taken into your life. You know how a caretaker looks after a school? He looks after every single aspect of that school. He doesn't leave an area untouched, and that relationship is a trivial relationship. My Lord, if He's the caretaker of the heavens and the earth, He has not left an area untouched. Every single thing is guided. Every single thing is protected. Likewise here, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men are the protectors of women. Why? بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused some men to excel in some things over some women. Doesn't mean men are the protectors of women because men are better than women. That's not what it says. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says men are the protectors of women. Why? Because He has caused men to excel in some areas above some women. That is not a negative. Rather, on the one hand, if I say, for example, there are two doctors, and I say that this doctor is better suited for this job because he excels in some areas above that doctor. Doesn't mean that he's a better doctor. But maybe for that ward, maybe for that department, maybe for that institution, that doctor suits this more than the other doctor. Here, many, unfortunately, when they translate, they say, men are in charge of women because men are better than women. God has made men better than women. No, men are the protectors of women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ, He's reminding you, I am the Qayyum. Likewise, as a qiwama which is given to you, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Maybe socially speaking at the time, and maybe in many parts of the world until today, men may have certain things within them, some men, which has caused them to excel above some woman, and which allows them therefore to maintain the woman. For example, if I was just to give one example, you see sometimes that there are certain countries where the only way you're going to be able to work and maintain your household is by working late at night, late shifts. As much as we've lived in a society which has kept on stressing that there is nothing wrong with a lady taking on a late shift at work, and we agree, there are many doctors we would not be around if it wasn't for their late shift where they helped us in the hospital. But there is still a danger involved, which sadly we saw in London only a few weeks ago, where a lady was butchered in a certain part of London because that lady coming back home, darkness of the night and so on. That lady was better than the person who killed her, was better than probably most of the people in that area. But in terms of maintaining that house, in terms of protection, the man may be given certain things where they excel above what? Above the lady in the house. Yes? Some might say to me, Sayyidina, there are some ladies who are breadwinners now. There are some ladies who are earning more than their husbands. I don't deny that, that there are ladies who earn more. But generally speaking, generally, you'll find that in the majority of the continents in the world, men are the breadwinners. Men go out of their houses. Men sometimes come back late, alone. They can walk through anywhere at any time. They don't face any situation where they find a particular difficulty. So here you see that the beginning of the verse is trying to establish a particular family structure, that men are the protectors of women. And even today, there are some people who aren't Muslim, but they still will agree with this. There are some people, we know, that they'll attack. They'll say, look at Muslims saying men are higher than women, so on. No, there are some who still say that there is nothing more beloved to me than walking hand in hand with my husband, who acts as a shield for me, a protector for me. I feel so comfortable when I'm walking with my husband in the middle of the park. I feel so comfortable when I'm away on holiday with my husband. He acts as somebody who I know is a pillar of strength for me. So here, this beginning of this verse is saying, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. And they are the ones who have to maintain the woman by what? By نفقة. They are the ones who must make sure that the payments, that everything, that are expenses for that marriage, the man is the one who it is obligatory on them to maintain their wife and to maintain the household. A Muslim woman can work, no problem, no problem at all. But does she have to pay for what's in the house? No. Is she obliged to? No. Who is maintenance on? Husband. The husband, it is obligatory on them to maintain their wife. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. They protect their wife, and in the protection of their wife, they are to maintain her. Even if that wife came from a certain type of living before, say you marry a girl and that girl lived a particular luxury life before, can she demand from you that you make her live that life until today? Yes, she can. In Islam, she can. So here the husband, unfortunately, you have some who are under the assumption that when you get married, both of you are the ones who have to pay. No, nafaqah dictates that the husband, the right of the wife over the husband is what? Is that he maintains her. If the husband stops maintaining, then the husband falls into the category of disobedience. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. That's of course not to say that the wife cannot help the husband. There are many who, for example, today in the Muslim community, when they want to come together, for example, to pay the tuition fees of a school, That wife may work, the husband may work, and the wife may contribute. But is that contribution something obligatory on her? Not at all. Does she even have to contribute a penny? Not at all. Then the Quran continues, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ. In terms of those righteous wives, قَانِتَاتٌ. They are wives who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say, no, Sayyidina, it's obedient to me. I'm the husband, that wife is obedient to me. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring obedience to you, don't worry. Someone who's obedient to their Lord is going to be somebody who's going to make sure that on their areas where it's the right of the husband, they're going to be there and they're going to be obedient to what their Lord has commanded. Qanitat in many cases refers to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ. Righteous wives, who are they? They are the ones who are obedient to their Lord. They guard that which their Lord has dictated that they guard. I guard, for example, the secrets of the house. I guard with dignity. When I go out, I guard with modesty. I guard with respect. So here, the righteous wives are the ones who there is an obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a guarding of that dignity which Allah ordained for them to guard. The opposite of this would be disobedience. Do you agree? The opposite of this criteria would be someone who is the opposite of righteous. The righteous are those who are obedient to Allah. So someone whose opposite would be what? Disobedient to Allah. The righteous are those who guard their dignity. The opposite would be someone who completely breaks their dignity. We move here from a family structure that is seen as happy family and normal to a case where in Surah An-Nisa, God is referring to a particular disobedience that may affect some woman in their lives. What does the Quran say? Wallati, and those women, wallati takhafuna nushuzahunna. Those who you continue to be afraid of them and their disobedience. وَالَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. نَشَزٌ, نُشُوز, sometimes نَشَز, نَشَزٌ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, those who suddenly they're rising to a level which is outside the boundary of what's expected in terms of a wife in Islamic thought. وَالَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. تَخَافُونَ means you continue to fear a disobedience from them. Those wives, those ladies you're married to, you continue to fear a particular disobedience which is now part of their life. What's nushuz? Wallati takhafuna nushuzahun. Those wives who you fear a continuing form of disobedience that doesn't seem to stop. You've noticed that there's a particular form of disobedience that you've seen in front of you, opposite to what God had wanted. God had wanted obedience. Now this person is performing an act which is in disobedience to God. What they were guarding in terms of dignity, now they're doing something which is not dignified. Example. I fear that I've noticed my missus is, for example, hanging out with somebody quite regularly, even though they're just supposedly friends. There are people who face such situations. And I don't want to say that adultery is something that only affects the female, affects the male, obviously. But there are some crazy stories about adultery. And anyone who reads the tabloids or other newspapers or watches certain TV shows, you always are in disbelief how this person, they found out that they were in affair with so and so and that they had been happily married to so and so. There are some famous Hollywood actors and actresses who have been involved in affairs where you could be married to somebody from one of the most famous shows in the world and you end up marrying the lady who you worked on a film with. Both of them are the two most beautiful ladies in the world. But because you worked with one particular lady on a particular film, you completely forgot the friend that you had, the wife that you had, and you moved on to another lady completely. Sometimes that meaning of nushuz, at the most extreme, is that you've noticed that this person's hanging with so and so, they're going out with them everywhere, they're spending late nights with them. Let's not talk about today. Today, in terms of many men, it'll be like, hey, bro, he's just a friend to her. Honestly, it's just a friend. They just go uni together. Arabs are now being spoken to who, in those days, if they found out that their missus was, for example, in a relationship with somebody else, you think the Arab would come and sit with the missus and be like, listen, you know, there's something I want to talk with you about, but can we like go for a coffee and talk about it? Arab would be like, where's my sword? Bring me a knife. I'm gonna kill. And it weren't just the Arabs. There were many empires that had that. There were many empires, if they found out that their missus was with somebody else, there was no such thing as discussion. When I'm reading this chapter of the Holy Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going back 14 centuries. I'm going back to people who wouldn't allow a baby girl to grow up because they were worried she might fall in love with the son of a tribal leader who they hated. So instead of letting the girl grow up, they would actually batter the girl and bury her alive. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ. The female baby will ask on the day of judgment, for what reason was I buried alive? When this Quran is speaking to them, it knows that, listen, we're trying to structure an understanding in all your minds that a woman in your life is to be protected, is to be honored. You have to look after her financially in absolutely everything. But we also appreciate that these relationships can go wrong. If they do go wrong, and you feel that there's a continuing disobedience, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُ, you feel that there's a continuing, you fear that there's a continuing disobedience, don't pick up a sword and kill her. Don't get up and say that, you know what, tribal death, honor death. That might not be the only meaning of nushuz, however. Another meaning of disobedient is when you blatantly notice that every time you want to come near her for physical relations, she blatantly just boys you off. She just says no. I'm maintaining this house. And I'm going to protect you. I won't let a human touch you. I won't let anyone near you. I'll build the best house as I can. I have a right. I have a right. A physical desire as a human being. No, I'm busy. No, you know what? Sofa, sofa, sofa. Later, next time. I'm tired. I'm busy. And we'll come to that discussion, by the way, because that can be looked at negatively and positively. There are some who'll do it purposely. Maybe they're not attracted to the guy anymore. Maybe they've got feelings for another guy. And you've noticed that your missus, who used to be really close to you, doesn't even stand you when you come to the bedroom anymore. What's going on? What's going on? I used to be the best and most good-looking things in sliced bread, and now when I come near you, what's going on? I'm not understanding why you're not talking to me. Is there someone else? What's happening? Tell me. They say another example of nushuz is to continuously, for example, I see her leave the house and nothing's being discussed with me. Now, again, it can be looked at positively and negatively. You know, this discussion, there is a no-win situation. Because there'll always be someone who'll say, but wait, I understand. I understand completely. That's why we find sometimes an unease with discussing this, because we can never imagine putting ourselves in this situation. But the aim of Surah An-Nisa is to try and look at every situation that could come about. Surah An-Nisa is trying to show that, listen, this could happen as well. Where you've got somebody who, instead of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is now completely disobedient. Even the laws of fiqh doesn't make a difference to me now. And not only that, the dignity that they had is gone. They don't mind. You know what? I'm going out with my friends. You could do nothing about it. Okay, going out with your friends can be something which is pleasurable for the guy. You know, sometimes there are guys who joke that, you know what? I don't mind her going out. Because sometimes it gives me a break from the lectures that I'm receiving at home. One of my friends said to me, you know what I miss so much about Majalis al-Hussein in COVID? He goes, not just the Majlis. He goes, that I can take a break from the missus for a few hours. Now, I'm just saying that in jest, by the way. I don't mean that in disrespect to any lady out there. But there'll be some who'll say that, you know what, I don't mind my missus going out for a certain period of time. But then it could reach a situation. It could. You're no one to tell me when I could go out. I'll come back whenever I want to come back. I'll go to whoever's house I want to go. Okay, but why are you coming back at those hours? What's happened to our marriage? What's happened to the relationship? So you have nushuz being defined in different ways. Either fear, for example, that somebody is having an extramarital affair, because I'm noticing that you're very close to this person and you're not with me anymore. Or that this person, when I'm even going near them for physical relations, they're not interested. And they make excuse after excuse. Or that they're just leaving the house and they come back. And even when they come back at whatever time they want to, if I dare say something, the Arab in the 7th century, what do you think his reaction would have been if the missus comes home at 4 a.m.? What's the Arab doing? Arab, this is a sword. Do you agree that there are some Arabs who still take the sword out today? Do you think that Jahiliyyah ended? Jahiliyyah has not ended. There are still tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. If his daughter comes home at a certain hour, he's not sitting talking to her. The Quran wanted to change that. The Quran said, "Wallati takhafuna nushuzahunna." You now, as a man, you've got this certain feeling that, you know what, I don't know what's going on. I go near her, not interested. I see her chatting to others. I don't know who they are. They're all hanging out with each other. I don't know which one she's attracted to. I don't know which one she chills with. I don't know if there's actually a relationship. There isn't a relationship. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. This is getting to me. The Quran, people said, was a book only of history. What is happening here in the Quran happens exactly in London today, happens in New York, happens in Toronto, happens in many places. The moral unease that I find with the hitting woman verse normally stems from my perception that Allah's giving a free ride, carte blanche, to anyone to go and hit. The context that's being discussed is that Allah is talking to a community that when they had a bit of doubt, they would just kill. Here it says, "Wallati takhafuna nushuzahunna, fa'idhuhunna." Number one, you think the missus is having an affair with someone. You think that you, when you approach the missus to fulfill your desire, she's not interested, must mean that she's with someone else. You think, for example, that your missus going out late, she's not even caring whether you accept, whether you don't accept. I've got my life, I'm independent. First thing, fa'idhuhunna. Fa'idhuhunna means what? Talk to them. Sit and talk to them. Advice. But make sure you're in a position to advise. If I'm going out till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. every night, and then I want to come and advise the missus when she's going out, practice what you preach. لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا? Why do you say that which you don't do? When the Quran said, if I fear a continuing form of nushuz, a continuing form of disobedience with my missus, I'm telling my missus, for example, why is it that you're so-and-so, you're talking to this guy and you're talking to that guy? I fear something's happening here. And I'm an Arab. I'm living in the 7th century. I want to do something. The Quran said, first talk to her. But make sure you're not the type of guy who's with everybody while your missus is at home. People forget to mention. Someone says, no, but you know men, it's different for men and so on. Okay. They'll bring you all the traditions that the man has a particular right and that he has the right to be jealous, but a lady cannot be jealous. But the world that we live in today, you can't be coming and telling something to your missus which you yourself are not practicing. What the Quran wanted was for you to sit with each other. Listen, you know what? Why are you and that guy hanging around with each other so much? You come home, you don't chat to me, but with him, you chat for hours. You enjoy going for a meal with that person, but with me, there's nothing. What's wrong? Tell me. And if at that moment, the two of you feel the relationship is dying, there's a couple of things. Either on the one hand, seek counseling. Sit with somebody who could advise you. Maybe the relationship does need working on. The other hand, not something we want to encourage, but if the relationship has died, don't force it because of your parents or because of your tribe. If you can tell that this person, when you're advising them, the Quran says the first thing you do is advise, never, ever do you go near hitting your wife because of this. You sit with her. You've been given a task to protect her in good times and bad. Sit and talk. Had the Quran said وَلَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, then I'd be like, وَلَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ, then what do you do? فَعِظُوهُنَّ, first thing you do is advise, sit with each other. اِدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Invite towards the way of Allah. With what? With a kind exaltation and wisdom, and say to them that which is better. My dear, if I've neglected my duty towards you, tell me, I love you, I miss you, I am willing to come back. Maybe I've neglected you, my dear. I'm sorry. Because sometimes when your partner, you see a nushuz from them, sometimes it was all your fault, nobody else's. You neglected the missus. Where was your love note to the missus? Where was your text messaging? Where was the moments of saying to her, you look beautiful? Do you know how many men cause hurt to their wives because all they do is make fun of her day and night? And then later, where does that lady end up? When she ends up not wanting you to come near her physically, or she ends up wanting to leave the house. She leaves the house because the energy in the house is negative. The energy in the house is an energy which is destructive. You look fat today. Oh, you've got fatter. Oh, you don't look nice in that. Oh, you don't look nice in this. Oh, your cooking is this. Oh, your this is this. Maw'idha should come from a pure heart where a person reflects, why has this happened? And I believe that when a person does reflect and they're sincere, there are ways of reconciling. There's no need to move on to stage two or to stage three at all. Straight away when you're like, listen, you know what? I've neglected you. Or if you want to go out, let's have dinner. Let's talk about it. Let's change atmosphere maybe. Maybe we go on holiday. Sometimes there are people who have kids. As soon as they have kids, they never go on holiday alone with each other. Why? Because one side or the other saying, I can't leave the kids. But you know, my husband is a big problem. Okay, but you make your mind up. As in like, he's telling you, let's go on holiday. You're saying, I will only go on holiday if the kids come. Baba, there are grandparents there who could look after those children. Go for a few days, rekindle the relationship. And believe you me, when the Quran was saying this, you think an Arab was understanding this easily? Arab's like, what? She doesn't come near my bed and you're telling me that I go and sit with her and rekindle over a candlelight camel. Honestly, there were some Arabs who were baffled by this. Because there were some Arabs who were like, I've seen my girl be quite rude on some things. I'm not going to be the one who's to blame. You know what? It's all her. No, the Quran said, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. You clearly have a fear of them continuing this. فَعِظُوهُنَّ. Sit with them. Talk. It's not the end of the world. Sayyidina question. What if I sat with her? I took her out for dinner. We had a great munch. I bought dessert. I bought things I never buy. I took her to a restaurant. A week later, Still back to normal, back to the same, unfortunately. There's been no change. There's been no change. Talk to her again. The aim of this verse was saying what? She's not ma'soma. She may make a mistake. Make 100 excuses for her mistake. Talk to her. Sayyidina, I said to her, you know what? Next week, let's go out and watch a film together. So we went out and we watched the film. We came back. A few days later, I go near her, not interested. She went out and said to me, listen, you like it, you don't like it. I'm going out and I'm not coming back. Of course, she came back, Sayyidina. But what do? The Quran said the second stage. Because most people have the impression that as soon as you're unhappy, hit the wife. And there are unfortunate Muslims who do that. There are Muslims who batter their wives. Why was she late? I'm going to batter her. Baba, wait. Talk to them. Talk. Discuss. After that, what did the Quran say? وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ means what? Some say separate the beds. Normally, we'll be on the couch and the missus will stay on the bed. Or, for example, turn your backs to one another when you're sleeping. Although they say it's never advisable for a couple to sleep on a fight. Sort out your issue, then go to sleep. But in this situation, listen, bro, I took her out for lunch. I bought her flowers. I bought her chocolates. I said to her, I love you. I said to her, let things change. She's still doing what she's doing, bro. Come on. 20 years ago, we used to bury these girls alive. And now you're telling me I have to follow a step-by-step process? That was the aim of Nisa. It was telling you that the Nisa are to be treated in a certain way. And that isn't you burying them alive, nor you battering them. If you don't follow these ways, then it's a sin on you. So if you claim to be a Muslim who's submitting to the path of God, then you follow these steps. What's the second step? I've advised. I've told her, let things change. Nothing's changed. Now, when we go up to bed, I put my back to her. I don't even want to look at her. You'd think at this stage, the heart might soften. Do you agree? That at this stage, she might turn around and say, you know what? I miss you. And there are some situations where, you know, the guy might just touch the lady and it just be like, you know, I miss you. Or crack a joke, for example, with one another, which brings back a certain memory. You know, there are ways. Never should it reach a stage where you hit your wife. There are ways in which you talk with the person, change the atmosphere. Listen to them. Sometimes love is not about what you buy. It's about how much you listen, how much you empathize, how much you appreciate. Sayyidina, you know what happened? I tried it. Didn't work. I said, what do you mean? He said, bro, I took her out for dinner. Nothing happened. I went out with her to watch a film. Nothing happened. I even sat down and listened to my father-in-law's stories just for her for 3 hours and nothing happened. Sayyidina, again, she's still... When I, for example, have certain needs, she's not interested. Not just she's not interested, Sayyidina. She's made it a point that even she's tried to make herself in a certain way where I don't even want to come near her. And she's now going out as she pleases. And I fear that when I tell her that you're talking to somebody, look at how many situations we're talking about. We're not talking about why is the food late. It's disgusting for a person to lose their temper with somebody Allah has enjoined on them to be their maintainer over why is the food late or why is this give this or why is that this. We're talking here some of the most serious issues that can affect any human being's relationship. Any human being's relationship can be affected with these issues. I now have tried number one, not working. I try number two, not working. If I try number two and it's not working, could this be possibly a moment in which I call someone to come in? Why not? Just because this ayah has three stages does not mean that because it has three stages, it does not mean that I have to go to the third, which is known as what? What does it say? وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. Only those ladies who you fear a disobedience that you see that is still continuing. Not happened once. If you fear it's still continuing, talk to them politely. They'll change. Still no change, second one. Still not that, then the third one is what? The third one, according to many of the scholars, is hitting. There have been some scholars who've said that the word daraba can also mean to travel. The word daraba, they use different examples in the Quran, where they say that the word daraba could mean to separate, maybe. That you guys go for a separation period. One of the best things that may remedy a marriage is to separate. And they show verses where a person, the word daraba is used to show someone traveling far away or someone separating. But if I go to Ayatollah Sistani's website today and I go to the section on nushuz, he makes it clear that the Quran has prescribed three cases. The first one is that you talk with each other. It should be resolved. Second one, separate the best, but it should be resolved. Third one is to hit. But the hitting, you see, notice, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ. In this situation, you don't see the word latum. You don't see a saf. You don't see wakaz. You don't see rakal, for example. These are different forms of hitting. Latum, what's latum? Latum, we'll see people who beat their chest, latum. But the word latum is not here. What is saf, for example? Saf, for example, is that you may have someone who may strike. You may have, for example, workers. All of these are different ways in which a strike is spoken about in terms of that which is hard, in terms of that which leaves a bruise. So you have ulama who say that it can never leave a bruise or a redness. But the problem is you then go into the territory of those hadiths that talk about a miswak. Now you tell me, I've never understood this, by the way. The reality is that we took notes in the classes of our teachers and they said that there are hadiths that say that number one, when your wife, you fear a blatant disobedience from her. Number one, you advise her. Number two, you separate beds. Number three, you get a miswak with my friend in Umrah is continuously at Jannat al-Baqi' playing with his teeth in front of us by Jannat al-Baqi'. He's moving the miswak, moving the miswak. Now you tell me if I'm going to get a miswak and I'm going to go to the missus, you know what, you've done this, so... Honestly, what's a miswak going to do? In all honesty. Someone might say, well, the miswak is symbolic. Someone else tried to give an interpretation. And what was their interpretation? Their interpretation was, Sayyidina, that no, it means that you don't hit them. You hit them by making sure food and drink doesn't come to them. What is it, a prison? The reality is it should never reach this level. Either it goes good or you separate or you divorce. But for a group of Arabs who hitting was number one, it now became number three. As much as I find unease defending this position in 2021, I cannot but deny that the Prophet came to some pretty primitive people. And to some pretty ignorant people. And you know sometimes when you advise some people, how do you advise them? They're like, no, I won't do this. I say, listen, do this, then we'll look at that. Don't you do that? They're like, no, I want this organized right now. You say, listen, let's do this first one. See if that doesn't work. We'll do the second one. I promise we'll think about the third one later on. People have every right to say that this could be abused. I cannot deny. And nor am I going to be someone who's going to push this and say, that it has been used by scholars to lower the position of the female by not explaining it with the depth that it deserves. But when I look at it, I look at Surah An-Nisa, a chapter that talks about incest and woman, adultery and woman, polygamy and woman. Surah An-Nisa sought to open every single possible situation that Arabia was facing and somehow tried to reform the mindset of the person. Today in the year 2021, of course somebody who looks at this, it will be troublesome. But if I'm looking at it back then, someone says, well, how about the men? It's just women who are disobedient? Ayatollah Sistani says, men are also subject to this question. Men are also in a position where they can be disobedient. And females also may be in a position where they fear the disobedience of their men. Go 100 verses or so later, Surah 4, verse 128, my brothers and sisters. Because many people say, why do you say that the women are disobedient? How about the men who are disobedient? In Surah 4, verse 128, the same surah, Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ إِمْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا. There are women who what? And if there is a woman who fears disobedience from her husband. In the Quran, Surah 4, verse 128 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's not just men who fear disobedience from their wives. How about those wives who could blatantly see that their husbands are the ones who are disobedient? Then what? They can either reach a position of compromise of peace between the two amicably, or she can take it to the judge and say, this person is in the same way I could be called nashiz, you call them nashiz as well. Someone asks, how could the man be in a situation of disobedience? The woman, we said, for example, the man comes near her physically, doesn't want. It can happen exactly the same for the female, where she wants to go near the husband and he constantly boys her off, constantly is not there for her. Or constantly you'll find that when she wants to have him sleep next to her, not interested in being there. Or suddenly travels and goes away. There are some men you'll find who'll suddenly travel and they'll just go away. That is also nushuz. Ayatollah Sistani mentions all of these. A person who just leaves their house. A person who just leaves their bed. A person who has no interest in any physical desires. Each and every one of these men can fall into the category of nashiz. And most importantly, the man who doesn't maintain the missus anymore. At that moment, she can take it straight to the Islamic judge. My right was for him to maintain me. Now he's bringing all sorts of excuses. I can't. I don't have money. I have my money stored elsewhere. I cannot give you money. I cannot do this. That is form of disobedience. And that goes straight to Hakim al-Shara. As I said, a troublesome verse, and a verse which a person has to look at this context, but we can't shy away from the fact that many have abused it. We'll continue with discussing such verses, insha'Allah, in the Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.